Listen to the voices of our world.
Whether a community under attack can use torture as one of the methods of interrogation.
The clear voice of social outrage is just not there.
You are never over your torture, that it's the most horrible experience in your life, and that never changes.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Torture. Is the United States government and armed forces perpetrating gross violations against prisoners for information? Allegations have been swirling around the Bush administration concerning the treatment of prisoners in Iraq at Abu Ghraib, in Cuba at Guantanamo, and in Afghanistan near Kabul. However, President George W. Bush has been quoted as saying, "This country does not believe in torture. We do believe in protecting ourselves. We don't believe in torture." So where's the truth? Probably somewhere in between, which is what we're exploring today with journalist Joanne Vipiewski and Orbis author Father John Perry.
The instructions went out to our people to adhere to law. That ought to comfort you. We're a nation of law. We adhere to laws. We have laws on the books. You might look at those laws, and that might provide comfort for you. And those were the instructions from me to the government.
President George W. Bush is assuring an international reporter that we are a nation which follows the rule of law in Savannah, Georgia, on June 10, 2004. However, are we a nation that adheres to law? I don't know. The accusations are piling up, and the questions right alongside. Allegations which include U.S. intelligence and military personnel perpetrating sexual abuse, beatings, hogtying, solitary confinement, waterboarding, and exploiting the Arab fear of dogs on prisoners being held on foreign soil. Does the rule of law only apply on U.S. soil? Most of these prisoners being interrogated have not been charged with anything. I mean, the most famous cases are the detainees in Guantanamo. There are about 500 of them. The Pentagon won't tell the public who they are. And some of them have been incarcerated in Cuba for over 4 years. So the question becomes, what leads soldiers to torture, to dehumanize the enemy so much they can do things only nightmares are made of? These are the questions regular columnist for Mother Jones Magazine and journalist Joanne Vipiewski has been asking. Today, producer Kathy Golden talks with Joanne about a piece she wrote for Mother Jones Magazine titled Conduct Unbecoming.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, Joanne. We're speaking today with Joanne Vipiewski. She's the author of an article that recently appeared in Mother Jones, Conduct Unbecoming. And that's a mild title compared to what's in the article. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the items you mentioned in there, the activities of the 173rd, et cetera?
Well, the article was prompted by an incident in Afghanistan in October where an airborne brigade was involved in a firefight with Taliban fighters and had claimed one U.S. soldier and one Afghani soldier and some Taliban fighters. And the Americans put the bodies of the Taliban fighters facing Mecca and then lit them on fire. And they said that this was for hygiene reasons, although they were in the middle of the desert on a cliff far away from the village, and this is not standard military procedure. They did this, and then a psychological operations unit that was attached to the brigade stepped in, and a sergeant got on a loudspeaker and bellowed to the villagers below, "Attention, Taliban, you are all cowardly dogs. You allowed your fighters to be laid down facing west and burned. You are too scared to come and retrieve their bodies. This just proves you are the ladyboys we always believed you to be." So that was what prompted the column. But the issue that I've been interested in for some time now is this question of the laws of war in a patently illegal, unjust, a grotesque situation. And so how does it operate for the actual soldier on the ground who has almost no training in the laws of war, where the laws of war, such as they are so scrambled anyway, where one set of rules applies to Afghanistan, another set applies to Iraq, another set applies to Guantanamo, and soldiers have been shifted through all these places. And so then is law just used as a way to diffuse embarrassment from the United States military project in the Middle East?
Well, you give us a primer in this article itself, the FM-33-1, the Army Psychological Operations Doctrinal Manual, and there's this sentence, various laws of war constrain the actions of the United States in conflict. FM-27-10 sets forth the laws of war. All PSYOP must have a sound legal basis. The action in Iraq doesn't have a sound legal basis. Guantanamo doesn't have a sound legal basis. What are...
Right, well, it's just, you know, it's a little bit of a cover. You know, you have to say that it gives you deniability. The manual you're talking about, the PSYOPs manual, is what those soldiers who picked up the loudspeaker and called the Taliban girly men and said they were cowards and they couldn't even pick up their bodies. You know, burning bodies is a desecration of Islamic tradition and culture and laws. So the PSYOPs people there, though, they would have read this manual, and this manual would have given them all kinds of suggestions on how they're supposed to exploit the ethnic, cultural, religious, or economic differences between themselves and their enemy. I'm reading from the document. So the manual goes into great lengths about how they can exploit these various things, and then also says that really only your imagination restricts the variety of psychological actions. So it says that to the soldier. It says they should exploit religious, cultural, ethnic differences. But then it also says, oh, by the way, there are all these laws that restrain your actions, and you have to operate within a sound legal basis. Well, that's just lawyerese. That's just to say, oh, we've got it in there. But the clear message to anyone who's in psychological operations is that their job is to lie and to deceive and to exploit various opportunities, including religious and cultural traditions.
Well, aside from yourself, and thanks to Seymour Hersh and other nooks and crannies of the media, a lot of stuff has been filmed and documented, and there's petitions now to try to get some more film out from Abu Ghraib. Because this stuff is all documented, what happens? These things are clearly against the international criminal law code.
Well, sure, but the whole war is against the international criminal law code, and everybody knows it. But I think that we don't have enough of appreciation for the absolute horror, A, that is war in general, and that is this war in particular. And I think the propaganda machine of the country is so dedicated to selling war as something about honor and virtue and liberty and maybe dying. You know, maybe it's about dying, but it's also heroic dying. But not enough about killing and desecration and torture and rape and all those things that have gone with war from time immemorial. So all these arguments about this is a just war, a better war, a good war, it's just somebody making up fantasies.
We have these kids that we're training in boot camp and or any of the big military bases, and we first teach them, I would assume, to think of themselves as the guys in white hats, that we're going over to do something that is right and just. How do we jump from that to teaching them to dehumanize the people?
No, it's all of a piece. It's not separate. It's not that they're taught to be glorious white-headed heroes, and then suddenly they learn at some point along the way that their job is to dehumanize. The whole regimen, particularly in the Army, by which a soldier is broken down and then built up again, this is their language, involves first the dehumanization of themselves and then the sort of remaking of themselves in order to be killing machines. Now, the softener is always added to it, which is that you're doing this for some sort of noble purpose. We're bringing freedom, and we're only killing the really bad guys. But it's pretty quick that the soldier comes to realize, usually upon first setting foot in Iraq, if not before, that there's really no big glory to their job. I mean, I've spoken to Iraq war veterans who come back and say that as soon as they arrive in Iraq, people say, look, everything you heard about we're fighting for democracy, we're fighting for freedom, we're fighting for this, that, and the other thing, forget it. You're fighting to stay alive, and you're fighting for your friends, and that's it. And, you know, that's what people do fight for. They fight to stay alive, and they fight to protect their friends. But the dehumanization is built into the process, and so there's no way that we can think of the soldier as anything but a trained killer.
The closing paragraph of your article is very moving, and we have so deformed these kids, men and women.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we return to regular Mother Jones columnist and journalist Joanne Vipiewski.
Can you tell me, Joanne, what is meant by dark siders and special access programs?
The special access program was something that the Army and intelligence units and the whole national security apparatus put into place right after the Twin Towers were exploded, which was a very secret, what's called off-the-shelf black operation, meaning that the people who are involved in it are never to be named, never to be traced. It doesn't exist on paper. In reality, of course, it exists as a bloody program by which people are abducted or kidnapped or tortured or killed. And it was an elite group of special forces units, intelligence agents, psychological operations people, who went into Afghanistan and began really the act of extrajudicial activity. And it was dedicated to abducting a bunch of people and torturing them for information or killing them to terrorize other people who they wanted to get information from. And it ultimately migrated to Iraq and other places, but it all had some psychological props to it, which were drawn from a book called The Arab Mind, and this book was of great interest to the national security establishment in this country, which supposedly delved into the secrets of the Arab mind and showed that Arab men were particularly exploitable in terms of their sexuality, which, I mean, you know, is just a joke. Not to say that there aren't all kinds of sexual rules in Islamic culture, but the premise of this is as if stripping, humiliating, sexually abusing American soldiers would somehow really not get to them because American culture is so much freer and sexually libertine. I mean, that's just nonsense. This is the way people are broken all the time. You make them feel small and weak and defenseless and naked. You exploit their sexuality. You rape them, what have you. This did not require great psychological analysis. So what I call dark siders are people who really spend their time trying to think about how can we break people? How can we hurt them? How can we make them do what we want them to do? And how can we do it through different levels of violence?
I mean, I don't know what has to happen next. I really don't know.
The other thing that's just really disturbing is if you look at the television and the programs that just feed the kind of air conditioning system of the culture, they are all very much at ease with coercive interrogation, with threats of violence, with actual violence by people who are the heroes. If you watch 24, every week, practically, the hero threatens to do something absolutely monstrous to somebody in order to get the crucial information, which, of course, is going to save us all from the disaster. It's the classic ticking time bomb thing. And so it's propaganda of a particularly insidious nature, so that everybody is kind of saying, well, you know, maybe torture, yeah, not that, but torture light, I mean, coercive interrogation, let's not call it torture, we'll call it coercion. Well, coercion is torture by other means. So it's nasty business, you know, and I don't think anyone should have blinders about it.
Is the war on terrorism a justification for the use of torture? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.